Welcome to day 16 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we will be reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 12 through chapter 15. We completed the book of Job yesterday, and as you know, my Everyday Bible reads the entire Bible through in 1 year, but read in chronological order. So we're reading it in order of both the historical occurrence of the events contained in the particular passages of Scripture we're reading. So we're returning to Genesis chapter 12. This week we are in the New American Standard Bible, starting at verse 1, Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. Now there was famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. It came about, when he came near to Egypt, that he said to Sarai his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please, say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you." And it came about, when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore he treated Abram well for her sake, and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him away with his wife and all that belonged to him. Chapter 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. He went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, and sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also can be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Chapter 14. And it came about in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elisar, and Chedor Lamor, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and Bersha, king of Gomorrah, and Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar. All these came as allies to the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they had served Chedor Lamor, but the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedor Lamor and the kings that were with him came and defeated the Rephaim in Ashtaroth Karnaim, and the Zuzim in Ham, and the Emim in Shavah Kirathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and conquered all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites, who lived in Hazazon Tamar. And the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, came out, and they arrayed for battle against them in the valley of Siddim, against Chedor Lamor, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elisar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and they fell into them. But those who survived fled to the hill country. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food supply and departed. They also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. Now he was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were allies with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions and also the women and the people. Then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet with him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." He gave him a tenth of all. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear you would say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share." Chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given me no offspring, to me one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to possess it." He said, "O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite to the other, but he did not cut the birds. The birds of prey came down upon the carcasses and Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete." It came about, when the sun had set, that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite and the Kenizzite and the Kadmonite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Rephaim and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Girgashite and the Jebusite." This is the end of today's reading. Today's Bible reading from Genesis 12 through chapter 15 is filled with rich historical as well as spiritual significance. We start out with the Lord speaking to Abram, and he's telling him a very profound thing and making him fantastic promises. He says to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." I'll stop there, first of all, because what he is saying, what God is saying to Abram, is very significant. He is telling him to separate himself from what he knows, from his own country, where he grew up, from his relatives, from his father's house. Now, why would God do that? Well, let me give you a little bit of background about where Abram came from. We know that Abram was from a place called Ur of the Chaldees, and it was in lower Mesopotamia, or later called Babylonia. And at the time of Abram and his father Terah, that area was noted for its intense idolatry. They were idol worshippers. They worshiped the sun, the moon, the stars. It was a place where people did not know the Lord. They were idol worshipers. And it's significant that the Lord is telling Abram to separate himself from that entire environment. And he tells him, "I want you to go to the land which I will show you." So we are getting a glimpse of the earliest steps of faith that Abram, who would later be called Abraham, took in obedience to the Lord. So this is really quite fascinating. It's a picture of the life of someone newly becoming acquainted with God. How did Abram come to know the Lord if he lived in the midst of idolatry, idol worshipers, people who did not know the one true God? We know from Genesis that in the very first few chapters, Adam and Eve worshipped, knew the one and only God. And it was later on that man, as man multiplied and peoples grew and nation, you could say cultures began to develop on their own, that they began to worship created things, created beings, creatures rather than the Creator, as the scripture tells us. And somehow Abram, even though he lived in the midst of that culture, he was familiar with, or became familiar with, or had a revelation from the Lord about himself. Now, it's interesting, it could be that Noah's sons were still alive, and it's actually just from the different chapters of the Bible and the lengths of life that we know that Noah had and then Noah's sons had, that they should have been alive at the same time of Abraham. In fact, Noah was probably still alive the specific year that Abraham was born, or Abram was born. So it is very possible that Abram knew one of Noah's sons and was personally informed about the flood and how people were not honoring and worshiping God at that time, and how God destroyed the earth because they had become idolaters and sinners who did not follow the one true God. So it is possible he was informed by them. But it is most likely that Abram got a revelation directly from the Lord, and we see in these chapters that the Lord appears to him, the Lord speaks to him, and in other places, and even in the New Testament, Abraham, who was Abram, was called the friend of God. So he had personal encounters with the Lord and revelations from the Lord. So Abram shows himself here in chapter 12 to be obedient. It says, "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him." But in these very first verses, Abram receives from God a phenomenal promise about his own life and about his descendants. God says to him, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This very last line of verse 3 that I just read, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed, is a messianic prophecy, or a prophecy about the coming Messiah, Jesus, who would be a descendant from Abram's line, who would be the one who would bless all the families of the earth. So this is an amazing prophecy, but it's also a phenomenal promise to Abram himself and to those who would be descendants of Abram, and they were later called Israelites and or the Jews as we know them today. And this is a promise made to the Jewish people of God's selecting them out, and from them, their descendants, would come the blessing that would bless all families of the earth, which would be Jesus himself, the Messiah. So it's important to recognize these words of promise and blessing and prophecy we find here in the book of Genesis. Now, there are two more things I want you to consider from these chapters that we've just read. And the first one is an observation of Abram's faith and an observation of Lot's foolishness and lack of faith. As we began with the words from the beginning of chapter 12 that the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house. And we know that Abram went forth as the Lord spoke to him. So we see, first of all, a trust, a basic trust in this God that Abram is getting to know. You could say this is maybe the early reflections of his faith or growing faith in God. He obeyed him to go to a place that it was unfamiliar. We all are often find ourselves in a similar position where God asks of us to do something that's outside of our own comfort area of comfort or comfort zone. Maybe to move to a city you've never lived in, or to go to a college or university far from home, or to take a job in a place that means a great transition geographically for you and your family. And if you know it's the Lord and you're going to be obedient, you're going to make that move, even though it may be uncomfortable. And so it was with Abram. He was leaving everything that was familiar to him, his country, his relatives, his father's house, to a land that God was going to show him. So we see that he obeyed the Lord in this. So we know he had some amount of faith at that point in his walk with God. And it says that Abram was 75 years old when he obeyed the Lord and departed from Haran. So we are observing these early times in his faith. And we will also see his faith get a little shaken, or maybe wavering a bit, in the next part, where we find in verse 10 that there was a famine in the land where God had sent them. And so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there until the famine was over. And it says, it came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you. Now, in that day, it was very common for kings to take into their harem of wives any beautiful woman that was brought to their attention by their servants. So he knew this practice of these heathen kings, and he told her, if they come, please do not tell them I'm your husband, because they'll kill me for sure. Just say you're my sister. Now, that showed a little lack of faith in the Lord being able to protect Abram and his family. He didn't ask Sarai to actually lie, because the truth was they were half sister and half brother. And in that generation, there was intermarriage among family members, but he asked her to withhold the truth, so to participate basically in a deception so that he would not be killed. And we know this is because he was not fully confident about the Lord in all of his ways and that God would protect him, even though he just had this phenomenal promise given to him by the Lord himself. I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. So it was a promise for his future and his descendants and all of those things, and that he had to stay alive in order for that to come to pass. So you could say that this moment of weakness of faith was observed here when he was in Egypt. And actually, you'll see him repeat this exact same scenario in chapter 20. Another place, Gerar, another king, the same situation. Tell them you're my half-sister. The king takes her into his harem and the whole thing. Now, in this particular account, we do not know how it is that Pharaoh, after taking Sarai into his house and treating Abram well for her sake, the scripture tells us, and giving Abram sheep and oxen and donkey and male and female servants, somehow Pharaoh got the revelation that the plague that suddenly struck his house and his family and himself was because of Sarai, Abram's wife. We don't know how he got that revelation. Maybe the Lord spoke to him in a dream, as he did in chapter 20 with another king in another land. But we don't know for sure. But however it is, someone got the revelation that it had to do with Abram's wife, Sarai. So we know that he immediately gave her back. He had never slept with her. He simply had taken her into his harem, and in that time, there were months of purification that had to take place before a king would ever take a new wife. So she had not completed that time of purification, all the beauty treatment that they would give the new person coming into the harem. And I want you to consider something. Imagine this. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. When they went down to Egypt, it was probably a few years later, so perhaps he was 77 years old. Do you know that Sarah was only 10 years younger than him? So this incident occurred when Sarah was probably at least between 65 and 67 years old. She's at least in her 60s for sure. Can you imagine? The king thought she was so beautiful, he wanted to take her as a wife. How lovely and young looking she must have been at the age of 60, mid-60s, for this to occur. Fantastic and a thing to imagine. Such a beautiful woman. And then a few years later, again, it's repeated. And perhaps it's a function of the fact that in that day, people lived so much longer. Maybe their youthfulness was extended. I don't know. Because we know that Sarai, who became Sarah, lived until she was 127 years old. So she was just in the middle of her life at the time that this incident happened here. And Abram lived to be 175, and many of the patriarchs before him lived into the multiple hundreds of years. As we know, Methuselah over 900 years. So it was a different time and definitely a different situation, but I find that to be fascinating. Moving along, I want to point out to you Abram's nephew, Lot. Now, Lot was not someone that particularly honored, revered, or even we have no sign or sense that he was a worshiper of God at all, actually. And one hint about that, or clue that may be the case, is his choice of where he decided to live. Abram shows himself to be one of the most humble men when he says to Lot, "It's time that we separate because your livestock and my livestock are too many for the land." It was overpopulating the area. They had been so blessed and increasing their herds. And they didn't have enough pasture and water and all the things needed to support that many livestock. And so the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot were arguing, and always strife was happening between them. They were always disputing, hey, this our area. So finally, Abram in his wisdom said, look, we don't want to have strife between us or our herdsmen. Let's just separate so that we can both live peacefully. And the interesting thing to me here in the middle of chapter 13 is that Abram, the elder statesman, the prince, you could say, allows the younger man, many decades his junior for sure, because he was his nephew, he allows him to choose where he's going to go. He doesn't say, look, I'm going to take this area. He's the senior. He could have done that. And in that generation or in that time, the elders were always honored and respected. But Abram was such a humble man, such a man of grace, that he said to his young nephew, choose. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. He allowed the young man to choose, and the young man chose and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, and he chose that. And it was the area where the infamous cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were. And as it turns out, Lot went to live right in the heart of those cities, and he literally moved to Sodom, which turned out to be a disastrous choice. And talk about a place of idolatry and wickedness. The scripture says the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinners against the Lord. So, and it says Lot moved his tents to Sodom. So let me just make this comment. People who do not revere, honor, respect God, or have any concern about what God would have to say about anything, will make choices that are absolutely devastating to their lives. They make foolish choices. They choose by what they see with their eyes. To Lot, the area of the valley there with Sodom and Gomorrah looked great. So he chose by what he could see with his eyes, not out of any spiritual understanding, not out of asking the Lord, because he didn't care about God's opinion. And that's the case today so much. People just choose based on what they see or how they feel, and their decisions end up being disastrous, as it was for Lot. And we find out the next chapter, 14, that sure enough, Lot falls into great trouble. There's a big war between all these kings, and the kings that win the war against Sodom and Gomorrah's kings take everything. They absolutely plunder all their food supply and all their goods, and they take the people captive to be slaves as well. And Abram's nephew Lot and all his family ended up in the booty, so to speak, of the kings when they took away what they plundered from those towns. So Abram now has to go rescue his nephew, who made that foolish choice to move to Sodom to start with, and ends up having to rescue him and saving him by the grace of God, and absolutely out of mercy toward Abraham, I'm sure, to Abram, the Lord allows him and enables him and helps him to have victory and rescues his nephew. Then the last thing I want to point out before we close today is this: that Abram's faith continued to grow. He continued to trust in the Lord. We see through these chapters that he prayed, that he set up altars before the Lord, that he listened, that he had encounters with God. And so this is an amazing, you could say, chronology or narrative of the development of a man's faith. And in chapter 15, we see the word of the Lord came to Abram again in a vision this time. And it says, don't fear, Abram, I'm a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And then Abram begins to have a conversation with God, telling him, look, I'm childless and my servant's going to inherit everything. And what could you possibly bless? How could you bless me? And that is when the Lord clearly tells him that you are going to have an heir, but it's going to be one that's your own physical son, an heir that comes from your own body, and that you can look at the stars, and if you could count them, that's how many your descendants will be. And so there's this great, great promise of a son to Abram, and it says very clearly that Abram believed God. He believed God, and that God, it says, then he believed in the Lord, and he, meaning God, reckoned it to him as righteousness. God blesses and honors anyone who believes him, trusts him, even when he can't see how God could do the thing he has promised. Abram was an old man by this time. Even in the standards of his day, he was an old man, beyond childbearing years with his wife. And yet, he believed God. Somehow, God was going to give him a son. And so, he trusted in the Lord. Are you in a situation where you see the promise of God, perhaps in the Word of God, and yet you don't see how it could possibly come to pass for you personally? Then you need to be like Abram here, where he says he just made the decision to believe the Lord. And then because he did, God accounted that to him as righteousness. He looked at that faith and blessed him for that, having faith in God when he couldn't see how God could ever bring it to pass. You know, Abraham is referred to as the father of faith for us who are believers today in Christ Jesus. And we need to have the faith that Abraham had, which believed beyond what he could see. That's what God wants for all of us. So ask the Lord to give you that grace to trust him beyond what you can see in your life right now and believe him for the good things God has for you. God bless you. Have a victorious week.